ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా.
Embodiments of love.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
Peace is within, not outside.
Outside no peace, only pieces.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilayam, the most happening place on the planet. As I always say, the month of March has begun. Today is 1st March 2018. It's getting warmer in Prashantinilayam, but that does not stop people from making their pilgrimages to Prashantinilayam. We just had hundreds of devotees from the district of Adilabad of Andhra Pradesh basking in the divine presence of Bhagwan, the joy, the fulfillment, the serenity you saw on their faces said it all. They presented a fantastic drama in the Divine Presence too on Sunday, February 25th, 2018. In fact, the story they picked up from Mahabharata for this drama was not a familiar one, and the lesson it conveyed was really powerful. Maybe sometime we should just have this drama for an episode in Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, because it had such powerful, deep lessons. But for today, let's continue from where we left off last week. If you have been following this program, in the previous episode of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, I discussed my learning about Swami saying, you are not one, but three. The one you think you are, the one others think you are, and the one you really are. I shared whatever I have understood of this in the light of Swami's teachings and tried to illustrate it with some examples and relevant facts from the current times. To put it in a nutshell, the one you think you are, Swami says, connotes to the physical self, the body. The one others think you are refers to the mental self, the mind. And the one you really are points to our true inner self, the Atma. And how to understand this? What does all this mean at a practical level? This is what we discussed in the previous episode of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. And now, let us go into how to make this journey from three to one, from the one you think you are, the one others think you are, to the one you really are. How to move from the body, from the mind, to the Atma. And Swami has given such a beautiful formula, a sure shot way of achieving this. And that is what I'm going to share today. We have to move from Soham to Om. In fact, that reminds me of a very beautiful shloka which the boys sing in front of Bhagwan, especially on his birthday. And it sort of summarizes what is Om. Whenever I think about Om, our journey from Soham to Om, just Om, this is what comes to my mind.
Oh, 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 Omkara Mula Vidaya Shivaya Paramatmane. Omkara Mula Vidaya Shivaya Paramatmane. Shri Ramadhyaya, Shri Ramadhyavataraya, Sai Shaya Namostute, Omkara Mula Vijaya, Shivaya Paramatmane.
That's the beautiful stotram that the boys chant. In fact, some other session we need to go a little into detail into this shloka too. You know, when Bhagwan talks about our journey from Soham to Om, Swami says, if you remove S and M from Soham, what remains is Om. And this S is this stages in our spiritual journey, which starts with Salokya, moves on to Samipya, and then we move on to Sarupya, and then you end up with Sayujya. Well, that's a very beautiful, another journey meant for all spiritual aspirants, and probably in some other session of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, we can take this up too. But for today, let me share the formula how we can move from the one you think you are, from the one others think you are, to the one you really are. Let me begin with an anecdote, a very telling episode, a lovely interaction with Bhagwan that happened in the 90s. And this is so relevant to what we are discussing now. So in the early 90s, an overseas group of devotees had come from Indonesia, about 20 of them, and they had planned to be in Puttaparthi for 10 days. And in those days, Bhagwan usually gave interviews to such groups, especially from foreign countries. And every day, this group sat in the darshan grounds with heart filled with anticipation, and Bhagwan would look at them, and they would be waiting eagerly to get that nod, to get that call from Bhagwan to go inside the interview room. But that never happened, and a week passed in this manner. Every day they would go to the mandir with a lot of anticipation, and now there were only 3 days left, and there was no way they could extend their stay because their flights were booked. The eighth day too was uneventful, and now tension started rising. You know, they were wondering, you know, how lucky it would be for us to return home without an interaction with Swami. Especially in the 90s and 80s, Swami used to give interviews to everyone, and it would be really unfortunate for a group to return to their countries without having a chance of interaction with Bhagwan. So the morning of the ninth day dawned, and they were all praying and pining, and this day something beautiful happened. Swami came towards the group, and Swami was keenly looking at this group from a distance. And when he came near, Swami asked the leader of the group, "How many? How many?" And the man got up with a lot of happiness, a lot of devotion. Finally, Swami was talking to them. And whenever Swami says, "How many?" it means, you know, Swami wants to call you inside. He wants to know the number of people in the group. So this man said, "Swami, 20. And Bhagwan immediately said, "Oh, 20? 20 only?" And then Swami pointed to himself, and Swami said, "Am I not part of the group?" And the leader caught the point. You know, there was that spark within him, and so he immediately corrected himself. Instantly he said, "Swami, sorry, Swami, sorry, Swami. Swami, we are 21. But by this time, so you know, Swami had moved on. And everyone was crestfallen. You know, they had lost a golden opportunity. Swami asked how many, you know, that was a sure indication that he wanted to give a group interview. But now, you know, everything was lost. Swami has moved on, and who knows whether he will call in the evening. And just one more day left, probably just 2 sessions left. And, you know, almost everyone thought that, you know, that is all they have got from Bhagwan during that trip. But fortunately for them, when evening darshan began, Swami came towards them. He glided towards the same group, and again Bhagwan looked at the leader of the group and asked, "How many?" And now the leader was ready, so he immediately said, "Swami, 21, Swami." And Swami now looked at all the devotees in the group, and you know, Swami looked at one person who was sitting beside the leader, and Swami asked him, "Oh, am I not with you?" Swami looked at the next person. "Am I not with you?" Swami looked at the third person. "Am I not with you also?" And now the leader thought, "Oh my God, what is this?" And he quickly tried to grasp the clue that Swami was giving, and he immediately blurted out, "Swami, Swami, we are 40, Swami. We are not 21, we are 40. But by the time he said this, Swami had already moved a little ahead. But Swami turned, and Swami responded, and Swami said, "Oh, so many. Oh, that's a very big number to fit into the small interview room I have." And Swami said that, and Swami just walked further. And you can imagine the catastrophe that fell on all these group members. You know, they were like, "Oh my God, this was the last opportunity." The next morning, they were leaving Prashantinilayam. The penultimate day was over. Everyone's heart sank thinking how unlucky, how unfortunate their destinies have been. You know, all they had as memories of that trip were those just few moments of interaction with Bhagwan, and these moments were intriguing interactions. They were not even clear interactions. They were not even, you know, happy moments to cherish. It was moments which ended up in so much of confusion, so much of sorrow. They had to leave the next morning immediately after darshan. And, you know, they lost all hopes of any more interaction with Bhagwan. They thought, at least let us see him once and maybe just take that image of him in our hearts. So that morning, they were sitting there in darshan line with heavy hearts, and Bhagwan, with in all love, he came near them. And again, with a lot of concern, Swami went to the leader and Swami asked, this time again, how many? And now this senior devotee was so confused, so clueless. You know, he simply just held on to Bhagwan's hands and he just broke down. He just surrendered his mind. He surrendered his everything to Bhagwan and he pleaded for his grace. Swami, we don't know anything. We have no brains. We have no idea what to answer to you. He just fell at Bhagwan's feet and he was just crying. And Swami just lifted him. Swami blessed him. And he continued the darshan. But there was no indication of any interview. Now, not only the group leader, everyone was in tears, you know. There was nothing else they could do. This was the final opportunity. They just had only their sad fates to blame. They were the undeserving Lord. They were deprived of the Lord's love, even though they stayed for 10 days coming all the way from Indonesia. Anyway, it was all over. Swami had already moved on and Swami had completed the darshan round. Swami was now walking onto the main veranda and the group with their wet eyes were still glued to his form. You know, they wanted to savor whatever they can, whatever glimpses, whatever moments they can gather. They want to take this with them and take this in their hearts as they move on from Prashantinilayam. And as Bhagwan reached the center of the Mandir Veranda, suddenly he stopped and he turned towards the group. And Swami raised his hand now. And Swami from there said, come, come. You know, it was what a call it was. You know, most of the group, they could not believe that Swami was really calling them. Is it really, really Swami's calling? They just wiped their tears and they rushed, dashed to the interview room in all ecstasy, in all excitement. You know, it was the opening of the floodgates of joy, and the moment they rushed into the interview room, Swami filled their hearts with bliss. He created a ring for someone, a chain for the other. He gave vibhuti to the third, advised the fourth about his personal problems, and the session went on and on for 45 minutes. Everyone, each and every one in that group had their sweet moment with Bhagwan, something to cherish for their lifetime. And in the course of this beautiful session, Bhagwan now looked at the leader of the group and Swami said, we are not 20, we are not 40, we are one. And then Bhagwan said, in the Satya Sai organization, there should be no differentiation between one and another. No one is big or small. There is no one individual identification of any particular community in the Satya Sai organization. In Satya Sai organization, we are all one and we work as one. The sole aim is to feel one with the only one. Only when we have this feeling of oneness with God at all times will we experience true bliss. Swami said, then our every service activity will be filled with supreme joy. True unity in diversity can be attained only when we train ourselves to see divinity in every individual. What we then experience is diversity in unity, where we see only the one manifesting and operating in divine in diverse forms. And eventually the seer, the seen and the act of seeing, all these three all become one. That is the oneness Swami wants us to cultivate. And this is the oneness that Swami wants all of us to reach, all of us to live every moment of our lives in. Because once we attain this oneness, then we'll be always filled with joy. Every seva that we do will give us happiness. Every bhajan we do will grant us ecstasy. Every sadhana we do will fill us with bliss. But how to get there? How to make this journey? And as I was saying, Swami has given a lovely formula. Swami says, it starts with bhakti. It all starts with faith and devotion. Then this bhakti, Swami says, will give us shakti. It will give us the strength. Strength physically, mentally and spiritually. And once we have this strength, this shakti, Swami says, will lead us to rakti. Rakti is attachment to God. And once you have rakti, then you move on to virakti. Virakti is detachment from the world. And once you have virakti, Swami says, you very easily attain mukti or liberation. So the first step is bhakti. It is this bhakti, Swami says, that grants shakti. I'm reminded of Mr. Rommel, a former IFS officer, Indian Foreign Service officer. He was also the passport officer of India in various passport offices, and he also later served in Indian High Commission offices in various countries in Africa, in Sweden, in Saudi Arabia, in Indonesia, and so on. And during his college days, he had no clue about Swami. He had not heard about Swami. Someone introduced him to the Satya Sai organization, but somehow there was always this desire in him to serve. Somehow helping others always was something he liked. But at the same time, thanks to the bad company he was in the college, he was into all sorts of bad habits that teenagers get into. Alcohol, chewing tobacco, he was addicted to movies, he used to take knowledge, he used to smoke. So name it, and he had all the bad habits that modern teenagers have, which they pick up especially in the college years. And once he came to the Satya Sai organization, he came to the Sai Center, what really fascinated him is the activities of the service in the organization, and he wanted to be part of it. He would to participate in that, but at the same time, he was not in a position to give up all his bad habits. So he prayed to Bhagwan, and somehow he developed some courage, some strength, you know. As Swami says, you know, once you turn towards Swami, once you develop your bond, the bhakti bond with Swami, that is our true bond. That is our Mangal Sutra. That is our divine channel, which will give us all strength, all support, all energy, all fulfillment. That is our auspicious sutra. That is our most mangala sutra that we have to tie in our lives. And he had done that. You know, he had welcomed Swami into his life, but at the same time, he was not having this courage to give up all these bad habits. Somehow he was able to give up alcohol, but so many other habits remained, and it was really, really difficult for him. In 1972, he had the opportunity to come to Vrindavan as part of the Sevadal from Hyderabad. Swami used to conduct the summer course in Indian culture and spirituality. So he was part of the group which had come to perform seva, to do the kitchen duty, to provide for the meals of all the students. In those days, students used to come from all over India for the Indian culture and spirituality course, which Swami used to conduct for over 1 month. And Swami himself used to come to the kitchen, and Swami used to see the work being done by the Sevadals. And later on, he would give them Padmaskaram, he would materialize Vibhuti and bless them, and he would give them special interview. So that's how it happened in that year too, 1972. After, you know, as the summer course was concluding, Swami used to always inquire about the Sevadal. Swami used to ask, where are my Hyderabad boys? And that's what it happened that year. Swami called all of them for an interview. And when Swami called them, you know, all these Sevadal members, many, most of them youngsters, and Mr. Romel was then in college, they all rushed to Trai Vrindavan, you know, in the lotus feet of Bhagwan. At that point, there was no Trai Vrindavan. It was the old bungalow, which was called, where which was Swami's residence. So they went and they sat around the lotus feet of Bhagwan. And as more and more boys came, you know, the boys who were in the front, they moved forward and forward. So they were sitting now very, very close to Bhagwan. It almost came to the point where Mr. Romel, who was sitting in right in the front, he had the opportunity to take Bhagwan's lotus feet and keep it on his thigh. You know, he was so happy that Bhagwan's feet were actually on his thighs, and he had the opportunity to touch his feet, to massage his feet, and Bhagwan was talking, and you know, Bhagwan was joking. But even as this was happening, suddenly there was a jolt of fear that occurred through his veins, because he saw that a cigarette packet was popping out of his pocket. You know, because it was, they were all sitting so packed, and because of that pressure, the cigarette packet was just coming out. And you can imagine how shocked he was, and his legs started shaking. He was in absolute fear. You know, that fear was so much eating into his bones, morbid fear, because he was afraid that, you know, if anyone sees that cigarette packet, you know, they will take away his scarf. He will not get the chance to serve again in Swami's presence. And the worst thing is, if Swami sees that, you know, and he was praying, Swami, please, Swami, don't single me out, Swami. I know you know, but Swami, please don't point out that cigarette packet, you know, because otherwise I will not get this chance to serve. I will not get this chance to be part of the Sevadal. So he was just praying to Swami, and, you know, Swami started speaking after that point. And in that speech, Swami was only talking about how one should get rid of bad habits. And Swami was telling one should run away from bad habits. It is like when you're going to sleep, and if there is a snake on your bed, what would you do? You would just drive the snake away, isn't it? If there's a snake on your shirt, what would you do? You would just throw it. Swami said, that is how, when you have a bad habit, you would just have to just tear it away from you. That is how you should react to bad habits. And this is what Swami said. And then the whole interview was over. Everyone had namaskar and they came out, and Swami didn't mention anything about that cigarette packet. And he was so grateful to Swami. The moment he stepped out of the interview room, he took out the cigarette packet and threw it outside the bounds of Vrindavan. And he was so relieved, so happy, and so grateful to Swami. You know, he thanks to that session with Swami, he got so much energy, so much determination, that bhakti, you know, gave him so much shakti to make that determination that, you know, I will never ever touch cigarette again. But habits are so difficult to leave, isn't it? They are so ingrained, you know, our body becomes so used to it. Sometimes unconsciously we fall into these habits. We think we have conquered this habit, but middle of the night again we get into this habit. It happens because of how we have not been able to build that much shakti. And slowly this shakti comes from bhakti. The more and more we love the Lord, the more and more love Lord will fill us with energy to get rid of these bad qualities. But somehow, you know, even though he thought he had given up smoking, but that habit came back to him once he went back to the college. There was peer pressure, friends, you know, and he somehow went back to smoking again. And, you know, once you start smoking, you know, it's not just one, two cigarette packets. He used to smoke like crazy every day. And he was not able to again control this urge. And again, one more opportunity came to serve. It was Shivratri festival in this time in Prashantinilam. And he was posted in the Purnachandra auditorium in the end of the hall. He was doing crowd control duty there. And as we know, in Shivratri, in those days, Swami used to pour vibhuti, you know, from that upturned pot from that urn, and the vibhuti used to just fall in cascades, and he was watching all that Leela Bhagwan. He knew Swami is divine, but you know, he was telling Swami, "Swami, I know these public miracles that you do. You know, these public miracles are perfect. But, you know, Swami, please give me a personal miracle. Something which is, you know, just specially for me." You know, he was praying like that to Swami. "Something which will help me to, you know, go close to you. Something which will help me to increase my faith." So this, he got this thought, and suddenly Mr. Raman Rao, the Sevadal coordinator, came to him and said, "You know what, there is a work that you have to do. Can you go to Dharmavaram and buy these leaves, you know, these paper leaves, these leafy cups, because Swami wants to distribute prasadam the next morning after the Akhanda Bhajan. And so you go to Dharmavaram, and in case you don't find these leafy cups in Dharmavaram, then you go to Anantapur. Anantapur is about 40 kilometers and Dharmavaram is 20 kilometers. So somehow get these leaves and return today." So he gives him money and he puts it in his pocket, and then he goes out to the gate along with one other two sevadals. And you know, the moment he steps out of the gate, and then Romel thinks that, okay, you know what, I have not smoked for such a long time, because he was in Prashanti, he cannot do it. So the moment he stepped out of Prashanti, he thought, okay, now I can smoke. So, you know, I have free time to smoke. So he lit a cigarette and they went to Dharmavaram. He could not find these cups in Dharmavaram, so he went to Anantapur. So in Anantapur, fortunately, he got all the 12,000 cups that Mr. Raman Rao had requested. So he put it on the top of a bus, and he tied all those 10 gunny bags on top of the RTC bus, and then he went back to smoking, and he was coming back to Prashanti Nilayam. Halfway at Dharmavaram, the bus stopped because the driver wanted to have a cup of tea. So all the passengers also got down. He also got down, and he thought, you know, even as the driver has tea, why not I have my last chance to smoke, because once you go to Parthi, you cannot. So he got down, he lit a cigarette, and as he was doing this, casually he looked top to just to see, you know, if all those gunny bags were safe. And to his horror, he saw that not a single bag was there on top of the bus. Not a single cup was there. And now he thought, oh my God, how can I go back to Prashanti? Swami has to distribute prasadam the next morning. I was given this responsibility, and there is not a single gunny bag there on top of the bus. With what face I go back to Prashanti? And he started shivering. He started crying. And he, you know, whom do you call when you are in such tragedy? Tell Swami, Swami, please forgive me. I will never smoke again. Swami, please, please, these people will take away my chance to serve. And the most, and the dreadful thing is, how will Swami serve people if there are no leafy cups? He was given such an important responsibility, and he has goofed it up completely. And the bus is about to start now. The driver had cup of tea. He said, you know what? You either decide you want to come in the bus or you want to get out. You decide. Because all the people were anxious to come to Prashanti Nilayam to be part of Shivratri celebrations. And he didn't know what to do. We were just crying to Bhagwan. And just at that moment, one empty truck came there, and the driver looked at this person, at Romel, and said, "Don't you have any brains, buddhi leda?" And that truck driver got up. He said, "All these gunny bags fell off the bus. You had no clue. You didn't even realize." So this truck driver had picked up all these gunny bags, and now he went on top of the bus and he tied them back securely, and he said, "Be careful." I mean, what is the probability of a truck driver going out of the way to pick up something which has fallen from a bus and bringing it, following it, following you, and then again putting it back on top of your bus? And Mr. Romel knew that it was just Swami's way of telling him, "Be careful, be careful." And that day he said, "Swami, I will never, never, never go near cigarettes ever in my life." And that was the turning point. He never, the moment now, if you look at even a cigarette, his hand shakes. It has been such a powerful jolt that he said, and no more he asked Swami for any personal miracle. He said, "Swami, your seva, this chance to serve that you have given, that is itself the greatest miracle for me. I need no miracles." This is the shakti, this is the determination, this is the courage that one gets once you have bhakti, once you have deep love for Bhagwan, once you have this love to do his work, that will give you this energy to kick all the bad habits out. And if we have to progress on the spiritual path, we have to kick all the bad habits out. Only when our outer habits first are clean can we focus on our inner tendencies. And once we pray to Swami, he helps. And he does it in fantastic ways. Because this is the only thing Swami is interested in. He is deeply interested in cleansing us. He is deeply interested in purifying us. And when we don't have that shakti within us, when we don't have that energy, when we don't have the determination, if we pray, he will give us the strength. Even though Mr. Rommel quit smoking, you know, there was another habit, chewing tobacco. This was something that he was finding it extremely difficult to give up. So he came to Puttaparthi for the birthday festival. And this time he prayed to Swami, Swami, please help me to get over this habit. Please help me. And he said, Swami, I'm not going to leave Prashantinilam unless I leave this habit from my system. So the birthday festival is over and he was serving in the canteen. All the other people who had come with him from Hyderabad to serve, they left for Hyderabad. And Mr. Rommel was not leaving Prashantinilam because somehow he was telling Swami, Swami, please, I have to kick this habit. He was not able to give up that habit of chewing tobacco. And you know, every day he would book the ticket and then he would again fall for this habit and then he would cancel the ticket. And he said, Swami, please help me. Give me that strength to leave this habit and then I will leave Prashantinilam. Every day he would book his ticket and he would cancel his ticket and he was losing money. And it came to a day when he had final just the amount of money for one bus ticket and one meal coupon. And if he did not leave that day, he will not be able to even go back to Hyderabad because he didn't have money, but the habit was not going. And that day, you know, he prayed to Swami. He said, Swami, I cannot afford to postpone my ticket to Hyderabad. Please help me, Swami. Please take over. You please take over and help me get over this habit from my system. And he went to the kitchen that day for seva, his last seva. And the canteen manager told him, you know, these heavy vessels, they have to be loaded onto an lorry, empty lorry. So he told him to carry all this huge load of vessels. And as he was carrying this load of vessels, he was unable to see the floor. And there was water on the floor and unknown to him, he stepped on that water and immediately that heavy load of vessels just fell on him, his kid. And that's it. That huge load fell on his hip and his hip broke, his bone broke into two. And he just fainted. Everyone came, Professor Kasturi came running from the mandir because it was such a terrible tragedy. And they tried to give him first aid and, you know, someone tell, just take him to Swami. So immediately he was put on a stretcher and he was brought to mandir veranda. And bhajans were going on. And everyone thought that's it, he may not survive because it was such a fatal accident. And Swami came out and moment Swami saw him, Swami said, ajagrata, carelessness, Swami said. And then Swami said, if you had fallen in this manner anywhere else in the world, you would have been dead. You would have been broken into two pieces like a pumpkin. Because it is Prashantinilam, you are getting a second life, Swami said. And then Swami created Vibhuti. And then Swami told Dr. Alreja, take him to Hyderabad. And so that is how he was brought to Hyderabad in a stretcher and he was taken to Gandhi Hospital in Hyderabad and he was from chest to toe, there was a cast on him and he had to be in that posture for 10 weeks, for 2.5 months. And because he had to be in that supine position, so he was not able to even move left, right, forget sitting or, you know, standing or anything. He had to just lie down in that posture for 24 hours a day for 10 weeks. And anyone who eats this tobacco, this tobacco pan, they know that, you know, once you eat this, once you chew this, every now and then you have to keep spitting it out. Otherwise, you cannot sustain it. You know, you won't get that. You won't, because it is very strong. But once you are in that lying posture, you cannot spit out. So there was no way he could actually eat the tobacco, chew the tobacco. And for 2.5 months, he was in that sleeping position, at the end of it, he was completely cured of this habit of tobacco, because for 2.5 months, he survived without taking that tobacco, and with that, that desire for tobacco also vanished, because that 2.5 months was such a cleansing process. Because for the first time, he says, you know, he saw the love that his mother had for him, because his mother used to feed, mother used to do everything for him, mother used to sit with him day in and day out and look after him. It was not only the mother, his wife started doing Likhita Japam day and night. His wife used to pray to Bhagwan, right? Om Sri Sairam, Om Sri Sairam. Satya Sai brothers used to come and they used to read out from Sanatan Sarthi Swami's discourses. They used to give him sponge bath. They used to shave him. So the amount of love that he experienced, he says that he never before had experienced that much love, and all this love and all that physical pain cured that pain of that habit forever. And that is how he was able to, that with Swami's grace, he was able to give up that bad habit. And only thing now left was eating non-veg. And he just one day told his mother, I am a member of the Satya Sai organization. I am a part of Satya Sai Sevadal. I cannot eat non-veg. And that's it. From that day, there was no more non-veg in his home. So with that love for Bhagwan, see the amount of Shakti Swami filled him with. That Shakti, that courage, that energy, that determination enabled him to get rid of all the bad habits. And it is these bad habits we have to first get over, because these are our obstacles on the spiritual path. And Swami says, once you have this Shakti, then you develop rakti, you develop attachment towards the Lord. You develop more and more deeper connection with the Lord. And Mr. Rommel, after he completed his college, Swami instructed him to appear for civil service examinations. And again, it was Swami's energy and Swami's inspiration which enabled him to clear the test. And once he completed and he became a civil servant, he was assigned to serve the country in various other nations, serving in the High Commission of India offices. So he was Indian High Commissioner in Indonesia, in Medan, staying in Medan, in Saudi Arabia. So one thing that he used to do, whichever country he was in, is he used to put pictures of Bhagwan in his office. And many times, you know, the local people there or the local ministers, you know, someone would come and say that, you know, don't do that, you know, don't put Swami's picture here. If someone might not like it, you know, they might take objection to it. And Mr. Rommel was someone who used to always say that, you know, if you don't like this picture, you know, you can ask me to leave the place, but I will never remove this picture. You can remove me from this position, I don't care, but I cannot remove Swami's picture from my office. That was his conviction. He used to say, send me wherever you want, send me to whichever country you want, but this cannot change. And he was absolutely diligent in his work, because he used to always feel that this is seva. So, and everyone who worked with him, they were always happy working with him, because he used to look after all these people, and he used to always tell everyone to spend some time in the office for God. If you were a Christian, you know, you used to ask them to chant the name of Jesus. If you were a Muslim, you should ask them to do their prayers. If you were a Hindu, you would ask them to do Likhita Japa. Everyone in their office had to spend some time with God. And for him, he used to say, for him, his God is Sai Baba. And that is how he was wherever he went, whichever office he was in. And that is how so many people of his office would know about Swami, and they would eventually become members of Satya Sai organization. In fact, they would be the people who would start Satya Sai movement in all these countries. Once he had a very tough posting. He was posted in Saudi Arabia, in Jeddah. And the moment he landed there, you know, his diplomatic colleagues told him, Mr. Rommel, don't do any adventure here. You know, your Sai Baba adventures here. Because sometime back, a Filipino pastor was here and he was trying to conduct Bible classes on Sunday mornings. And the local people came here and they removed his fingernails and they sent him back. So people here are very, very difficult people. So don't try to do anything other than, you know, the rules in this land. And Mr. Rommel thought about it and he thought, okay. So he was a little careful. And he was doing his job as always, very diligently. And 6 months passed in this manner in Saudi Arabia. And one day Swami comes in his dream and Swami says, what is the use of people who are fit for nothing? And when he heard that, he thought, oh my God. It is so true. I am fit for nothing for Swami. You know, I am absolutely useless for Swami. You know, he said, maybe I should resign from this position, because being here, I am not able to do any work for Bhagwan. But then he thought, you know, if I resign, then I am just being a coward. I am not being, I am not the one who is having the courage to do his work. So for 3 days, he was just continuously crying day and night. He was just looking at the picture of Bhagwan and he's praying, Swami, please guide me. What should I do? He didn't feel that it was right for him to leave that place. But he was unable to understand what else he could do. 3 days passed in this manner. And finally he thought that probably he should just resign. Or, you know, get transferred to some other place. And that day when he went to the office with his resignation letter, suddenly into his office stepped in 2 Satya Sai students. And when they saw Swami's picture in his office, this person, Mr. Arul Selvanathan, he said, oh, you are a Satya Sai devotee. And Arul said, my wife is from the Anandpur campus of Bhagwan's university. And I studied in the Prashantinilam campus. And he said, sir, let's do bhajans. And they immediately started doing bhajans in Saudi Arabia. And they met another person, Mr. Manohar, who was from Sri Lanka. And that is how began the Satya Sai Center in Saudi Arabia. Mr. Rommel, they told, sir, you become the Seva Coordinator. Mr. Selvanathan and Arul, they became the Bhajan Coordinator. Mr. Manohar became the President of the Satya Sai Center. And for 18 years after that, you know, the Satya Sai organization has continued in this country. And it is going strong. They are doing fantastic work there. In fact, they are doing Narayan Seva. And they do bhajans. And in the bhajans, Mr. Arul used to always have a lot of Sarvadharma bhajans. They used to sing of the glory of Allah. And no one took objection. In fact, the local Muslims are so happy. They used to come and join. And they used to do Seva. And the Muslims there used to come and participate in the service activities. In fact, they even started doing Nagar Sankirtan. In fact, the way they used to do Nagar Sankirtan is something very interesting. They used to do Omkaram and Suprabhatam in one home. And then they used to line up 6 cars in a convoy. And since they are not allowed to actually go on the streets and sing the names of God as we do in any other place, when we are doing Nagar Sankirtans here, they just took 6 cars. So they used to sit inside the cars and open the windows and then sing the bhajans. First Ganesh bhajan and then Guru bhajan and so on. And so they used to do Nagar Sankirtan inside the cars. And after they finished, they used to come back and then come out of the cars and, you know, do Aarti to Bhagwan, you know. So this is the way Nagar Sankirtan, car Nagar Sankirtan happened in Jeddah, in Saudi Arabia. You know, when you have that will to do, Swami will give that strength to do. And once you have that strength, that is when you develop more and more attachment to the Lord. This Shakti leads you to Rakti, Swami says. This is what leads you to attachment. You get more and more attached. And once you get more and more attached to God, then eventually you develop Virakti. You get detachment from the world, because once you are attached to God, nothing of the world comes anywhere near that joy, near that bliss, near that ecstasy. And Mr. Rommel was sharing how once in a seminar that he conducted in Norway, one devotee came to him and said, "Sir, I'm having this big problem. I don't know what to make of it. Swami comes in my dream every day and Swami says, leave your wife, leave your wife, leave your wife." And he says, "My wife is an ardent devotee of Bhagwan and she loves Swami. I don't know why I should leave my wife. I don't want to leave my wife. I don't want to divorce her. And why is Swami asking me to do this? I don't know. And when I tell this to my wife is crying. So I don't know what to understand, what to make of this." And Mr. Rommel, when he heard this, he prayed to Bhagwan and he said, "Oh, that is not what Swami is referring to. Swami, when he says, leave your wife, Swami is telling, leave your wife from your mind, from your thoughts. Fill your mind, not with your wife, but with God. Leave the worldly thoughts from your mind. Leave your attachments. That is what Swami is telling. Tune your mind. Take your mind away from the world and turn it towards God. This is what Swami is trying to tell you." And the person was so happy with the answer that he hugged Mr. Rommel. And, you know, he was so happy that he said, "Now I understand what Swami is telling me to free my mind from all other worries and fill it with God. Because once you fill it with God, then everything is taken care of by God. And He does it in such a fantastic manner, in such a seamless manner." Some years ago, Mr. Rommel had developed hernia and the doctors advised that he should undergo an operation. And when that operation was going on, he had a very unusual experience. He had the experience of death. He saw that when he was in the operation theater, his soul started departing from his body. And he says, "I could see my body. You know, the countdown had started 9, 8, 7, 6. And he was struggling at that point. I mean, as he was leaving the body, you know, the thoughts that were coming was, you know, I am dying. And he was thinking about his job. He was thinking about his family. He was thinking about his position. He was thinking about his property, money. You know, so many thoughts are coming because he felt he's leaving the world. And unfortunately, the thought of Swami never came to him at that point in time. And at that point in time, you know, he saw Swami there. And Swami was telling him that every Sati Sai devotee should have a beautiful death. The name of God should come very naturally to any Sati Sai devotee. And the moment Swami came there to the scene, Swami pushed his soul back to the body and it was like an electric shock. And, you know, life came back to his body. And, you know, there were these electric flashes for 5-10 minutes and Swami was there all the time. And Swami was telling him how precious life is. And Swami was telling how every Sati Sai devotee should die like a Tukaram, like a Kabir, like all these great saints. One should not be struggling to get the name of God when one leaves the body. It should come naturally. And it will come naturally when you have made this habit of detaching yourself from everything of the world and attaching yourself completely to God. Then everything that you do in the world would have become just worship. Whether you are working in the office, whether you are working in the Satya Sai Center, the center point of your life, of your work, automatically would have become Sai, Sai, Sai. Once you are in that stage, then Swami says, death is only joy. Death can only be joy to a Satya Sai devotee. And Swami says, every Satya Sai devotee will have a glorious death. Swami says, he will send the Pushpaka Vimana, he will send the golden chariot from the heaven to take every Sai devotee back to the ethereal world, take the soul back to him, provided he develops this rakti towards the Lord and virakti towards the world. Because once you have that virakti towards the world, then you easily attain mukti. In fact, I'm reminded of this very beautiful bhajan, Sai Om, Sai Om, Sai Om. In this bhajan, you know, we say, Tana mana praname Sai Om. You know, in our body, in our mind, in our life being, it is only Swami, Swami, Swami. Sayana sapaname Sai Om. In our dreams it is Swami. In our waking state it is Swami. In our deep sleep state it is Swami. Gagana pavaname Swami. Outside of us it is Swami. In the air we breathe around Swami. Janama maraname Swami. You know, in our life, in our death it is Swami. Nayana nayaname Swami. Every eye, in every person, in everything, in our eyes, in everyone's eyes it is Swami, Swami, Swami. That is the stage of mukti that Swami wants us to attain. And we can reach that stage of mukti. It starts with bhakti. Swami says, there are six qualities, bhakti, rakti, yukti, anurakti, and virakti, and mukti. Bhakti is food. Rakti is this attachment to God. Yukti is that knowledge to love all. Anurakti is that great attraction to the divine. Virakti is the cessation of our desires. And mukti is liberation. Swami says all these, bhakti, yukti, anurakti, virakti and mukti, all them have this syllable ti. And Bhagavan has the root word bhag. Swami says when you combine ti with bhag, you get bhakti. So it is bhakti which will grant you everything. It will give you food, bhakti. It will give you rakti. It will give you that charm of life. It will give you yukti. It will give you that knowledge of life. It will give you anurakti. It will give you attraction towards the God. It will give you virakti. It will help you to get detached from the world. And it will grant you mukti. It will grant you liberation. And what is bhakti? Bhakti is nothing but love. It is deep-seated, undiluted love for the Lord. Love, for love's sake for the Lord. I love the Lord because there is no because. I love the Lord because I love the Lord. That is what is bhakti. And Swami says, love is the prime feeling of man. All other feelings originate from love. Once one understands the principle of love, Swami says, then you can understand the entire universe. But for that, one must have strong faith. Because from faith, there is love. As Swami says, where there is faith, there is love. Where there is love, there is truth. Where there is truth, there is peace. And Swami says, then you will have peace all the time. That everlasting peace is Prashantinilam. That everlasting peace is moksha. That everlasting peace is mukti. Swami says, then you will become the repository of truth and love, and the whole world will be with you, in you. Everything is in you and you will experience that oneness with everything. Bhakti is the nectar obtained as a result of churning of all the essence of all the scriptures. Real devotion is that which is buttressed by firm faith and is steadfast and unchanging under all circumstances. Once we have that faith, then we will experience the fruits of real bhakti. And the fruit of real bhakti is mukti. What is mukti? Moksha, Swami says, moha kshaya is mukti. When you have developed complete detachment to the the Lord and you're so attached to the Lord that nothing else you can experience, nothing but the Lord in every second of your being and in every cell of your being and every moment of your life. That is what that oneness is all about. You see Sai everywhere. Tanu mana praname, nayana nayaname, shayana sapaname, janama maraname, Saiyom. That is the culmination of our journey. The journey of who you really are. We have to move from the one you think you are, the one others think you are, to the one you really are. That is the final moment of this beautiful, beautiful journey. Dear listeners, it's been a beautiful journey for me sharing this lovely formula that Bhagwan has given all of us so that we can get that strength to purify ourselves in such a manner that we can only see Shivam everywhere. We become pure, pure. Our life moves on from Soham. Every breath is Soham. From Soham, we just become Om. We just become one with Sai. Our life becomes just a saga of Sai Om. I will leave you with this very beautiful bhajan. Always this bhajan fills me with inspiration, with joy and strength to walk on the path. Thank you so much for being with me for this very beautiful session. If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org, or if you want to write anything personally to me, you can write to bishu@radiosai.org. If there's anything that you want us to discuss on this program on Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, please do let us know and we'll be happy to take that to help all of us walk on this path of bhakti to mukti. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.
Om Sai Om Sai Om Sai Om Sai Om Sai Om Tan Man Pran Me Sai Om तन मन प्राण में साईयो शयन सपन में साईयो गगन पवन में साईयो शयन सपन में साईयो सपन में साईयो గగన పవన మే సాయో శయన సపన మే సాయో సాయో జనమ మరణ మే సాయో